tell you about Public Square. There are several lines that meet other edges.
Youth of this country who are already in a disillusioned, disenchanted state will be encouraged.
Where we talk about the fine margins. Sometimes it's black, white, and blurry.
It's also informed by the need to save costs and reduce legislative time.
Then there are the actors right at the center, coming through political processes, which could be dramatic.
To the extent of this abysmal, if Parliament does not raise this money.
And controversial.
If driving through the roads is engaging the macabre, compatibility is that of government.
And there's you to help connect the dots from the top to the bottom. Join Rotimi Sankore and Arogo Obo at the Public Square every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Public Square.
The people here, Shaku Maku, everyone. It's a lovely Friday afternoon in the city of Lagos. And wherever you're listening, I hope it's a fantastic weather. My weather gizmo tells me we've got lovely weather all around the country. And not so hot, not so cold. And we will have a great discussion this evening, like every other episode of the Public Square. Today's Public Square will be reviewing the latest global out-of-school children data in the context of the International Day for Literacy, which was marked yesterday, and the International Day to Protect Education from Attack, which is today. Rotimi Sankore and I will take you through the new data and the big picture analysis on what it means for Nigeria. Remember, you can interact with the program on WhatsApp. Number on WhatsApp, 0809-597-5805. Again, 0809-597-5805. You can also join us on Twitter at Public Square NG, at Rotimi Sankore, at Arogo Obo, at Nigeria Info FM. At some point, we'll open the phone lines also for you to have the opportunity to have your say. If you've got any questions also too, we'd love to hear from you when the time is right. But otherwise, the WhatsApp platform is open already for you to interact with us. Rotimi, good evening.
Hello.
Excellent. And what a week. This week has had everything to imagine. Reports being put out. Days being marked. And then the passing of the longest monarch in British history. So what a week we've had so far, Rotimi.
Yes. I mean, by global standards...
this is it.
By normal global standards, not a good week, but for Nigeria, a particularly terrible week.
A terrible week, I have to admit.
All the new data coming out from different points of view on multiple indicators, don't show that the current government at federal and state levels understand the kind of problem we are in or understand what they need to do. You know, and I think the worst of the data is the latest data on the out-of-school children.
Absolutely.
Which, as far as I'm concerned and as far as any reasonable person is concerned, is a matter of national tragedy. I mean, any country that the latest global data demonstrates now has 20 million children out of school, that is absolutely, by any measure, a national tragedy.
Right.
Well, and I think what makes it even more tragic is that the government spokespeople don't seem to understand what it means. Or, even worse, maybe they understand, are pretending not to understand. Because if people understand, I mean, if people don't understand, then through dialogue and public discourse like we are doing now,
right,
it's possible that when they realize, they could say, oh my goodness, we need to do something about this.
But if people
understand and pretend not to, that's the worst possible outcome for any country.
Right.
Because it means they are trying to sweep it under the carpet,
right,
and then in turn not being prepared for the consequences.
Right. We're going to get the opportunity, Rotimi, at some point also to distill the UNDP's Human Development Index report, which also happened this week. Interestingly, in all the years I've seen that report, I remember the first time I saw the HDI, which was early 1992. And interestingly, then Nigeria didn't feature much because of the military era. They were hiding the data. Now, I don't even know which is worse for us, not to even know where we are ranked in 1992 to where we are ranked this time around, 163, which is worse than where we were last year. And worse still is that figure you often quote, which respect to life expectancy. We're way, way, way down the ladder, only better than the Republic of Chad, which sits at 191, at 52.7 years. The average is the Nigerian guaranteed to live on Earth. Chad is worse up at 52.5 years. But I'm sure there's a lot for us to look at that in a later show. All right. So we're going to delve into the talking points for this evening. We've got a double combo. And first and foremost, Rotimi, let's look at that data on the numbers of out-of-school children. The latest one, which UNESCO has put out, has been rejected by the federal government. But as usual, we don't have any data from state actors to support. There's been an improvement in the numbers of children who are out of school.
Well, we do have data from Nigeria, and as the program goes on, I will explain how the data from Nigeria confirms the latest global data from UNESCO. Because in data statistics and analysis, there is something called proxy data. And often the proxy data is as good as the direct data. So, for instance, in a country, they may tell you, oh, we don't have data for the number of girls that are out of school.
Right.
That's what a country may tell you. But that same country, we have data for first child marriage.
Here we go.
So, so in that case, the first child marriage becomes the proxy data. Because if a girl has been forced into sexual exploitation and abuse described as marriage from the age of 10, 11, 12, 13, and before she's 21 has had four children, your guess is as good as mine that the girl is not in school. So that proxy data will give you a good... So if the proxy data for first child marriage is, say, 60%,
right,
and a country lies and says they don't have data for girls out of school, you just look at the data they have for first child marriage and say, well, that's 60%. So we can take it for granted that at least those 60% of girls are not in school to start with.
Right.
There may be others that have not been forced into child marriage that are not in school, in which case it is higher. So maybe another 10 or 15% of girls not forced into child marriage but not in school. So if you add that to the 60%, that gives you 75%. So there are ways around it, unless people don't know how to interpret data.
Right, right.
So our government telling us that, that they are not sure what the UNESCO data is talking about. All they need to do is look at all the proxy data in Nigeria's Bureau of Statistics and look at all the proxy data from the state ministries of education and the federal ministry of education, and there you have the answer.
Voila.
Yes, and there you have the answer. And I mean, let me more or less explain how that 20 million was arrived at. The 20 million children out of school, the latest data from UNESCO. And we must really remind our government officials, this is global data. It covers all the countries in the world. Sometimes Nigerian governments want to pretend that anytime there is new global data, that somehow a global development agency has picked on Nigeria specifically to try and paint Nigeria bad and that is our enemies and so forth. But when you look at it with all the data across the world, you will see the methodology and the consistency. So what UNESCO's new data has pointed out is that Nigeria's new data for estimated children out of school is 20 million children. So this is up from the 13 million children from previous reports. And, you know, the government's ostrich attitude essentially stems from all kinds of logical fallacies. Like during the year of COVID, the first year of COVID, when schools were closed and no new skills were built and no new teachers were trained, Nigeria's government came out and said that, in fact, they had reduced that 13 million significantly. And when challenged, but which schools were built, which teachers were trained, in which states, they couldn't respond. So it was clear it was a logical fallacy. Now, if you listen to Public Square regularly, you won't be surprised at the explanation. If you don't listen to Public Square regularly, I will urge you, follow me at Rotimi Sankore. Just scroll down or just search out of school children and you will see how this figure has built up. So let me just summarize. So the data from the Federal Ministry of Education tells us that primary school enrollment across Nigeria has never gone above 5 million. And that is in the best years. 5 million primary school enrollments. Now, data from the Bureau of Statistics, the Population Commission, tells us that roughly in the past, say, 4 to 5 year period, roughly between 7 million and 7.5 million children have been born every year in Nigeria. 7 to 7.5 million children have been born in the last qualifying period in Nigeria. So, if children, you know, start primary school 5-6 years later, after they have been born, and there is a gap between the children born, and that gap is 2 million to 2.5 million. Between the children born in the last qualifying period before primary school commenced, if that gap is 2.5 million, 2 million to 2.5 million, then it's easy to see that the 2 million to 2.5 million children that never started school in Nigeria, once you multiply it by that qualifying period, so for instance, 2 million children not starting primary school, but, you know, so sorry, let me explain again. 7 million to 7.5 million children born, 5 million only starting primary school. So 2 million to 2.5 million do not start. You just need to multiply that times 5 or 6. And there you have your answer as to how the extra 7 million children out of school have come about. So it doesn't matter what the government officials say. We only need to look at the government's own data of the children born and the children that our own government have told us started primary school. It's just simple math. I mean, any primary school child can do that maths. Just subtract 5 million from 7 million in some years, 5 million from 7.5 million. And there you multiply by 4 or 5 years, and that's where the 7 extra million children came from.
Excellent. So now that we've gone past that part, Rotimi, let's look at this important question here, which is in the context of the International Literacy Day. We look at the literacy levels for Nigeria. How do you compare and contrast when you place with the International Day for Literacy and the literacy levels, rather, we have in the country?
Well, again, let us go back to the government's own data. And that will give us a clear picture of what is happening. Now, the literacy figures in Nigeria, that is those that have never had access to learn how to read or write, is pretty good because it comes from the states, it comes from the Bureau of Statistics, and it comes from the ministries of education. So, you know, the government at the state levels and the federal level, it's funny when they try and deny their own data. Their own data, not another person's data, their own data. Now, the latest data, and again, this is something that I've been tweeting about over the last week. Now, if you look at for males, it's probably best to look at it by zones so that it makes more sense. And in the context of current insecurity, because 36 states, if we go through 36 states for male and 36 states for females,
right.
I mean, that's quite long. So let's just summarize it by geopolitical zone. Now, in the northeast of Nigeria, the official data from the Bureau of Statistics and from the government, that is the state and federal ministries of education, tell us that in the northeast, 49.3% of males in the northeast are not able to read or write. 49.3. So let's just say 50% of the males in the northeast cannot read or write. In the northwest, it's 40.7. In north central, it's 26.8. So no surprise there why the insecurity is higher, because if any zone has males of fighting age, 15 years to 49 years, 49% that can't read or write, they are more easily misled, they are more gullible, they don't understand what is happening.
Right.
So, Rotimi,
I'm going to kindly ask you to pause so that we can go on a quick break, so that when we come back, we'll continue from just where we stopped. It's our double combo on this Public Square special, International Day Against Attack on Education, International Day and Literacy, which we are looking at here. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Please stay with us.
That was an infomercial. This is The Public Square.
Well, welcome back. 99.3 Nigeria in for the Public Square. It's 28 minutes to 5, and we have a big discussion today. This week, we had two international days. One is still being marked, observed today, which is the International Day International Day to Protect Education from Attack. And then the one for yesterday was International Day for Literacy. Nigeria plays a critical role, a critical actor in both conversations. And Rotimi Sankore is already into the matter. So Rotimi, before we went on the break, we were on the road. And we're looking at current literacy levels placed side by side in context of the International Day for Literacy.
Yes. So we were looking at the literacy levels across Nigeria in the context of the new data from UNESCO,
right,
and the Global Education Monitoring Report.
Right.
That is the UNESCO Institute for Statistics, which has the global mandate to monitor progress,
right,
on education for the Sustainable Development Goals globally.
Mm.
So these are not meddlesome doomsdayers, naysayers, and so forth, as Femi Adesina regularly says.
Mm.
I mean, this is an organization which Nigeria is fully subscribes to and contributes to.
Mm.
So if you miss the beginning of the program, that new data is 20 million children out of school in Nigeria. And we are just looking at the literacy levels across the country by geopolitical zone, because yesterday was International Day for Literacy. So just to take it from the top again, for males that have not had access to literacy, reading and writing education, and right, cannot read or write or, you know, comprehend a single sentence, it's Northeast, 49.3%, Northwest, 40.7%, North Central, 26.6%, Southeast, 13.2%, South-South, 11.3%, and Southwest, where we are, 10.8%. So, in case you are unable to interpret data in the context of economy, fragility, and insecurity, you won't be surprised to see that the literacy data from Nigeria, from our Bureau of Statistics, and from the state education sectors are telling us that the Northwest and the Northeast top the illiteracy levels for males, 49% in Northeast, 40% in Northwest. Now, that's for males. Now, for females, the data is worse off because of things like first child marriage, high fertility rates, and, you know, and so forth, coerced in pregnancy. So, cannot read at all, can't read one sentence, have not had access to learning to read or write. Because it's important to always underline that these people, it is not because they don't want to learn to read or write. It is not because they are of a particular ethnic group. It is not because they are of a particular religion. It is because their states and local governments have not made the necessary investments for them to have access to reading and writing. In other words, the state and local governments in the worst affected areas are feudal in nature.
Mm.
They may be pretending that they are in the Federal Republic of Nigeria, but in reality, their ideology is feudal. They don't necessarily believe that ordinary people deserve access to education. So, and for women especially, for females, this is worse. So in the Northeast, the illiteracy level, that is those that have not access to reading and writing education, for females in the Northeast is 68% for females. In the Northwest, it is 70% for females, that is illiterate, can't read a sentence. 70% in the Northwest, 68% in the Northeast, 50% in the North Central. So generally, Northwest, Northeast, North Central, 50% up. The governors and local government chairs have failed miserably to invest in education for males and females. The worst off for females. Now, for females in the South-South, 20% are illiterates. So it's not a figure to sneer at. In the Southeast, 20% are illiterates. Now, in the Southwest, 19% of females are illiterate. But remember what we always say about data. So let me give the example of Lagos specifically. Right. In Lagos, 14% of females cannot read or write. Now, don't forget that this is 20 million people plus in Lagos. So if roughly half are males and half are females, and 14% of 10 million women cannot read or write, in absolute numbers, that number is higher than in most northern states. So, you know, if you are listening and you are hearing that, oh, you know, in Zamfara state, 77% of all the women there cannot read or write, or in Katsina state, 73% cannot read or write. These are, in absolute numbers, these states are smaller than Lagos, which is 20 million. So I always remind people that there are 2 million out-of-school children in Lagos. Mm. 2 million, which is higher than the number in Katsina, which is roughly 1 million.
Mm. Mm.
So, you know, if the children in Katsina are being recruited into banditry and extremism, but that is because it is possible because of the geographical size of Katsina or Zamfara or Niger, which is largely rural, no access to school. For many of these kids, the nearest school is 2 days or 3 days walk away. So there is no sign of governance at all. Now in Lagos, those 2 million out of school children, many of them have access to hustle. They can sell gala in traffic. They can sell tomato at the bus stop. You know, when you are coming back from work, you buy. Some are bus conductors. Some have joined, in quotes, what they describe as road transport worker. And I always remind people, Agbero are not road transport workers. Globally, road transport workers are the people driving train, the people driving buses, the people driving ferry, or the administrative staff that you see in the train station. Those are the road transport workers. The Agbero that claim they are road transport workers in Nigeria are not workers. They are enforcement agents that have been put in place, you know, to collect resources from the actual road transport workers. So, I mean, this is the irony of it.
Yeah.
So when some people say that the NURUTWIN news, I say, no. The road transport workers themselves, the bus drivers, the ferry drivers, the train drivers, or, you know, are doing their work. The people that have been put together to extort from them are not really doing any work, but they've been given union ticket or union card in order to extort the money from those that are working.
Right.
Now, in Lagos, these 2 million children, many of them will be recruited as Agbero. So, you know, the densely populated nature of Lagos, the fact that Lagos has ports, airport, still some semblance of industry and so forth, means that a lot of these 2 million children out of school have this opportunity to hustle. Some are vulcanizers, you know, some are learning plumbing, some are learning mechanic, an opportunity which the 1 million children out of school in Katsina do not have. Hence, there is a straight path for them to be recruited into banditry. But as you can see, there is a limit to the number of Agbero, vulcanizer, gala seller, and things like that that Lagos can absorb. Hence, the growing number of street gangs.
Right.
So when you look at that global figure,
right?
I mean, the national figure of 20 million children out of school, you can see how it affects different areas. I mean, we are drifting now into the implication.
Absolutely.
But I think it's important to point out every time that when we say that the percentage of out-of-school children is higher in Yobe, Borno, Katsina, Zamfara, the percentage is lower in Lagos, but the fact that Lagos is more highly populated means that in real terms, Lagos has more out-of-school children. And that 2 million out-of-school children is not my figure, is not your figure. It is the figure from the Lagos suburb.
Right. And of course, there are fears also that number may have also gone up because of what you're getting from the updated figures nationally. But Ruth, there's something very important to also point out as we get into the implications or consequences of this has happened. And a great point you make, 10% of an elephant is different from 10% of an ant.
or an antelope.
So we have already begin look at some socioeconomic problems being faced by high illiteracy levels. There are also implications for security too.
Yes, which brings me to so this data is one of the tragedies that happened over the last week. 20 million children out of school, and the government and the spokespeople were either in denial or pretending nothing significant happened. That's one tragedy. Mm. The second tragedy was the Global Human Development Index data, which shows that, you know, Nigeria has dropped on multiple indicators, different program for that. Mm. The third tragedy that happened, and I'm sure if you are listening to Wemimo this morning, or in fact any of the programs during the week, you would have heard these quotes from the Minister of Information and the Minister of Internal Affairs.
Right.
You know, saying that the insecurity will be over by December.
Mm.
How is that going to happen?
Mm.
How is the insecurity going to be over by December?
Mm.
Now, again, I mean, if you've missed the data, I urge you, you know, look, just follow on Twitter at Rotimi Sankore. And let me just explain what I said earlier in the week. I think yesterday or day before yesterday, in response to the statement from these honorable ministers, you can follow on Twitter to see the figures yourself.
Mm.
And what I said is this: insecurity will not end in December, because the government has not demonstrated that they are on track to end underdevelopment in December. It's as simple as that. The insecurity will not end by Christmas, because the government is not making the investment to end underdevelopment by Christmas.
Mm.
So, 20 million children out of school, new data over the last week. So that is getting worse. These children, so remember, these 20 million children out of school are children between the ages of 6 years old and 16 years old.
Right.
That is children that should be between primary one and SS3.
Right.
Now, every year, about 2 million of them will graduate to 17, 18, 19.
Mm.
As they get older, these 20 million now, as they get older and are recruited into gangs in urban cities like Lagos, recruited into Agbero, who are going to clash over ticket money, recruited by bandits in the Northwest, recruited by extremists in the Northeast, the insecurity will only get worse. So, I mean, it is really painful to sit down, watch our Minister of Information denying the obvious,
right,
and stating that, in fact, the insecurity will end in 3 months, when it is clear that the insecurity, in fact, is only just loading.
Hmm.
It is going to get worse, far worse.
Hmm.
If we think we're seeing insecurity now, when these 20 million children out of school grow, if only 10% of them are recruited by bandits, urban gangs, and the extremists, only 10%, 2 million.
Mm.
Oh, our gallant forces will have more on their hands that they can cope with.
Mm. Mm.
Because in the same press conference, the Minister of Information said, oh, it is important to appreciate when our gallant security agents and soldiers are making progress. We acknowledge, we praise the gallant forces.
Right.
We encourage them. We recognize their effort and their sacrifice.
Right.
But the point is, the data keeps getting worse.
Right. So, Rotimi, because we're going to have to gather speed now, because we have also to the discussion.
Yes, I will. But please, let me just finish with that data. So 20 million children out of school, 60 million adults cannot read or write, 100 million in multidimensional poverty.
Right.
Youth unemployment is 42%.
Mm.
That's 22 million plus.
Mm.
Underemployment is 22%. Those things are not going to end by Christmas.
Absolutely. So
there is no sign they will end by Christmas.
All right. So, Rotimi, now that we have established a connection with the data and the insecurity and the poverty and the underdevelopment, I think we can quickly lay a foundation with the second day before we go on the next break, so that we'll have time also to look at the solutions, that what has to be done. Today is also International Day to protect education from attack, and the impact of these attacks on education will form our your observations. It looks like Chibok just happened, abduction happened just last year, but we're having, unfortunately, the attack on schools continue up to this moment as we speak.
Yes, I mean, sadly, I mean, Chibok got global significance mostly because of the efforts of the Bring Back Our Girls campaign. You know, Obieze Kwesili, Ayo Obey, and so forth like that. So that indicated that schools, especially girls' schools, were under attack. Now, it is not just girls being abducted from schools. Boys are also being abducted. But more importantly, teachers are also being displaced and lost. In fact, the extremists have made it a matter of policy to always go after schools and teachers. So we have a terrible situation now where roughly 30 to 40% of teachers have been displaced. 30 to 40% of teachers. So, and you know, so this really constitutes a major attack on education, which will only make the issues worse. And if you look at the news every day, you will see the news, which is always saying that, for instance, many of the unity schools remain closed. Many of the schools around Abuja remain closed, and so forth like that. So it is, in fact, not only the schools that have been attacked, but the schools that are under threat of attack that are closed. So if you look at that data, many of the kids in IDP camps have not been to school for 10 years. They've not been to school for 10 years. So, I mean, what are we going to do about those children?
All right,
now remember,
I'm sorry, we're going to have to take this break now. So we'll just catch our breath, and then we come back right after the headlines for the continuation of the conversation. But
let me tell you about Public Square. There are several lines that meet other edges.
Youth of this country who are already in a disillusioned, disenchanted state will be encouraged.
Where we talk about the fine margins. Sometimes it's black, white, and blurry.
It's also informed by the need to save costs and reduce legislative time.
Then there are the actors right at the center, coming through political processes, which could be dramatic.
To the extent of Dismal Bisma, if Parliament does not raise this money.
And controversial.
If driving to the roads is a getting the macabre, compatibility is that of government.
And there's you to help connect the dots from the top to the bottom. Join Rotimi Sankore and Arogo Obo at the Public Square every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Public Square.
Right, 99.3 Nigeria Info, and we continue. We're halfway done, and looks like we haven't even started, right? It's 4 minutes past five in the Public Square with Rotimi Sankore this evening, and we have discussions already going on. Discussion around today, the International Day to Protect Education from Attack, as well as yesterday, which was the International Day on Literacy, which is what we had talked about earlier on. So, the number to send messages on 0809-597-5805. Quite a number of messages in here already. Olorogu Sada says, on the data of children out of school, Rotimi gave the figure of children born in years as between 7 million to 7.5 million and school enrollment to 5 million. Of those born, how many died? I think this needs to be adjusted for before concluding on the figures given out to the public. So I've done the quick data for you. We have infant mortality for Nigeria put at nearly 60,000 per 1,000 life bets. And at least my math is good enough. It comes up to a little, you know, give or take, even though I find it very morbid to throw in this sort of, but it's sad, but it's what it is, you know, comes up to about 300,000. So it's still far less than, doesn't really make any real impact in terms of that deficit of children who still cannot get places into school because we don't have enough schools to have them in. So, Olorogu Sada, I hope that explains to you clearly that we still have a huge...
If I may add a little bit more to that. So, right. I don't know if he's trying to be clever or he's trying to be helpful.
Mm.
Either way, he raises an important point.
Mm.
And that important point is also a point of bad news.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Which is that Nigeria has one of the highest child mortality rates in the world.
Yes.
So let us factor it in. Nigeria has one of the highest child mortality rates in the world.
Mm.
So even if you take account of that,
yeah.
It has been improving a bit year on year by, you know, 20, 30, 40,000. But at the height of when it was worse, about 9 years ago, the child mortality was roughly 1 million children under five dying every year.
Yeah. Now it's about three. I just did the calculations. About 330,000, which is really sad.
It's a bit more than that. It's a bit more than that. But let's even take it at that. Now, what he also has to factor in is this: it is not just the children that don't start primary school. Okay? It is also that of the roughly 5 million that start primary school, by the time the age group gets to SS3, there are only roughly 1.6 million left. So in other words, about 70% don't complete school. Those are also out of school children. So if 5 million starts and by SS3, if 5 million start primary school, and by SS3, there are only about 1.6 million left.
Mm.
Those are also out of school children. The fact that you started primary one and dropped out doesn't mean you are not counted. Mm. The fact that you got to primary four and dropped out doesn't mean you are not counted. You are also counted.
Right.
Now note that 9 out of such 10 children cannot read or write properly. So I hope that helps him. He raised an important point which has to be clarified.
Yeah. All right, so Olorogu Sada, do the math. 60,000 deaths per 1,000 life bets, you'll get the figure for 7.5 million. I hope you can do the math and also come to the same conclusion I came to. So, Rotimi, let's go and get back into this International Day to Protect Education from Attack. And we're looking at some of those headliners which have led to, in fact, even the minister acknowledged it was a setback that you've had several schools had to shut down because of the safety and security of the children, especially the unity schools, which is the point you made. So maybe you'd end on that point, end on this one, and then we can then get on to what the solutions are. Because I see a comment on WhatsApp saying, I am surprised, he says, that the school feeding program, which was tied to taking the children bringing the children back to school, which the government has claimed through its introduction in some states, it has been able to reduce the large number of school children, especially in primary education. This comrade, Daniel, he's surprised that it hasn't really had any effect. But we'll get to that part later on. So, Ruth, back to you.
Okay. Let me just answer him. The school feeding cannot have an impact where there are no schools. I don't know if you understand that. Mm. If the school does not exist, if the school has not been built, then you cannot feed in a non-existent school. So there are shortages of schools. The out-of-school children also represent a shortage of classrooms and teachers. So, for instance, now, let me just skip ahead to solution.
Right.
So, for instance, now, if you want to go by UNESCO standard of classes, of children per class, of 20 to 25 children per class, let us go with the higher figure of 25.
Right.
20 may be a bit too impressive for some of the state governors and local government chairs. Because don't forget that primary and secondary school is mainly the remit of state governors and local governments. The federal government is failing to the extent that it cannot coordinate the situation. And they are not paying attention to that situation. So let's go with the 25 figure per class. This 20 million, if we want to return this 20 million to school, we have to go pro rata by the states most affected. We'll be looking at round about 800,000 classrooms, about 800,000 teachers, about 800,000 teaching assistants, because as everybody knows now, no teacher teaches alone now. In fact, in the best schools, the teachers have two teaching assistants. So it also represents the fact that we're about 1.6 million teachers short. Now, has the federal government or the state government, all of them together, come together to say, how are we going to provide these 1.6 million teachers and teaching assistants? How will these 800,000 classrooms be built? Pro rata, the states most affected.
Right.
So there is the question of physical structure. There is the question of human capacity. There is the question of learning material. Because now these kids need computers. Now, if we want to go back to this issue of protecting education from attack, we also have to recognize that the education is also an attack from the policymakers. The education is not just bandits and extremists. If a governor or a local government chair is not investing in education in their state or local government proportional to population growth, then education is under attack from that policymaker.
Right, and it's great you make this point, because you see the Northeastern, some of them came out in this week to say that they've suffered about 30% loss in teaching power in the last couple of years, and it's been a real major problem for them trying to recruit teachers to go, especially to the areas where you've had insecurity very, very rife.
Yes. So if they are recognizing that they've lost about 30% of teachers, so what are they doing about it? See, there is something in development called peace building. Peace building means building school. It includes building schools. It includes training teachers. There is no point building one nice fancy school in Maiduguri or two that can take 1,000 students, when in reality, you need space for 100,000 students. So this is also part of the problem. But, you know, it is really important to note that the education system is under attack from governors, from local government chairs. In fact, not in many instances, not only are they not making the necessary investment, in some instances, they are even cutting the investment. So the irony is, when they cut the investment, then there are more kids out of school. Those more kids out of school are now a larger pool for bandits and extremists, who then attack the lesser, you know, the remaining schools again. And that cycle continues. In fact, we can also go up to the level of universities. When federal government signs agreements with ASU and does not implement it,
right,
and then starts complaining that ASU is on strike,
hmm,
when ASU is saying, in some instances, we don't even have chalk,
hmm,
chalk to
hmm
teach
hmm
the students.
Hmm.
We don't even have chalk hmm to teach the students.
Hmm.
The students are sitting on the floor. Many of them don't have any books in the library. Look, as somebody who worked in a university library, I know what it is for a university not to have books. I worked with one of the best university librarians that this country has ever seen. And we used to go into major consultation with heads of departments. What are the books that your students need? In many instances, we had to fight the university administration from the library to get the money. Some departments will need 100 copies of particular books, and we could only buy 10 after major fight with the VC and the registrar. A department will need 100 copies of a book. We can only buy 10. And that is because we're even being methodical.
So people,
now, when the library does not have those books, what yeah then happens?
Yeah.
The students then resort to, you know, photocopying and yeah all kinds of things like that.
Yeah. Some hide the books.
Yeah.
So that no one.
So
can
you can
them
see the attack. So when see the director of the budget office in Nigeria, Ben Akabweze, made an important statement
right
this week. He said, this fuel subsidy matter, why can't that money be invested in the universities? So let us remind people that 12 weeks of the fake fuel subsidy is 1.6 trillion. 12 weeks of that fake subsidy is 1.6 trillion. This current government described it as fake when they were campaigning. 1.6 trillion is 12 weeks.
Right.
All the money that was signed in the agreement with ASU is 1.2 trillion. And that 1.2 trillion is over 6 years. So 1.2 trillion over 6 years, but 12 weeks of subsidy is 1.6 trillion. So the director of this government's budget office, if you doubt it, just again, please just go to my timeline. I tweet quoted Ben Akabweze when he was saying the fuel subsidy should go to the Nigerian universities. 1 month, 1 month, 1 month of the fuel subsidy is 559 billion. 1 month, 559 billion. 1 year. Revitalization money for all the universities in right Nigeria is 200 billion.
Right.
So with 1 month of fuel subsidy, you can revitalize all the universities for 2 years.
Right. So what we
and once universities are revitalized, it means that our research and development will then be on track for the universities to be able to train people that can manufacture and fabricate computers, cars, ships, buses, aeroplanes, and all these things that we spend our forex importing.
Right. So Ruth, we've identified a number of solutions to this. One, peace building, talked about also to increase investment in being able to deal with this problem, and also looked at sources where the funding can come from. I don't think we have left out any other solutions to resolving the attack on education, as well as dealing with the children who are out of school. Safe, right. So I think in a nutshell, we've gone round what we should be looking at in terms of solutions, and have come full circle in understanding it. Before we open the phone lines and engage with social media as well as WhatsApp, you want to add something else, or we go straight to interaction?
No, we can go straight to interaction, because often our esteemed listeners raise important points, like right. the gentleman who raised the point about you need to factor in child mortality as well. Yes, I mean, these are really important points
right.
to clarify. The whole point of public discourse on public policy and data and development and planning is public education.
Right, so that they can get
so you know so when people raise good points like that, it's important to clarify so that there is a bigger, even bigger and wider perspective than what you and I started out with.
Good. So let me get to WhatsApp and then I get onto the phone lines. Number to call 0700 993 993 993, again 0700 993 993 993, and then the female only line is 01465 7190, again 01465 7190, WhatsApp 08095975805, on social media it's at Nigeria Info FM, at Public Square NG, at Rotimi Sankore, at Awowo Obo. Oliver from Ikorodu writes, I went to Niger State Bush Market to buy market foodstuffs. I met a man that speaks good English. He told me he's a teacher, but he doesn't go always because of bandits, but comes to translate to people that don't hear Hausa in the market so that he can get something. Talk about ingenious, huh? But then, unfortunately, survival first, huh? There you have... someone, I don't have your name, but says majority of school children in Lagos, he thinks, can be traced to those out-of-school children coming from all over the country. Security guard, Tukada riders, etc. All right, I think we can go.
How many have they seen speaking Hausa before? People need to be serious.
Yeah. And to say right, in the build-up to the general election, I see the issue of out-of-school children taking the front burner. Already, some individuals aspiring to lead this country have been claiming of recent that they had reduced the number of out-of-school children by 7 million when they were governors of their state. Andose. I hear you. Okay, so we'll take one call and then I can go to I can go and take the next ad. Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
Great to have you join us. What's your name, please, and where are you calling from?
Professor Sankore and Professor Aho Nakoboko.
All right, Koboko, go ahead quickly.
I greet you, people. When I said insecurity will end December, I'm laughing. 2 days ago, there was people that are going for burial. They abducted them and they left the corpse for Mayor Road. So make them remember that one. Another one, if Nigeria don't start extracting our mineral resources, all this one we are talking, you know, you'll get here to shout out to our two presidents. I'm enjoying them. Alota, continue. Thank you very much.
Oh, all right. Thank you very much, Koboko. All right. Keep the calls coming in. I think we can squeeze in one more call before the break. Hello and good evening.
Hello, good evening. This is Achike from First Park.
All right, Achike, let's do this very quickly.
Okay, this thing is not just this, it's also a threat to life. Let me even give you my experience in a university in the East. Mm. I was going for an exam early in the morning. There's hardly enough transport. So even when I was going, it was raining, I take a shortcut. Do you know what this shortcut is? Mm. You literally walk on top of a palm tree. That's the bridge. Under your left and right, the stream. Agoga almost died that day. And even when I reached, they postponed the exam. I had to come back in the afternoon. That was when I told my parents, I am never coming back to this university. So when we are telling people revitalization, they need to understand that even the students' lives are in danger.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Chike. It's a definition to what you call a university or a structure. All right. Let's go on that quick break, Rotimi. When we come back, we can then hit the home run.
Mm.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Public Square.
So welcome Welcome back. 99.3 Nigeria Info. It's 5:30, and I'm sure as you're heading home, your ears are tuned to your number one talk news and sports station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. And it's the public square, and the public square today has a double combo where we're looking at yesterday, the International Day for Education, for Literacy, and today we have the International Day to protect children, schools against education, against attack. International Day to protect education from attack. And Nigeria features prominently this week, just like Rodney pointed out, a horrible one to look at the data for Nigeria's development. A dashboard view shows us that things are all right. We'll go back to the phone lines, 0700-993-993-993. Rotimi is still here with us, and WhatsApp 0809-597-5805. Let's get quickly to the phone lines as we hit home run. Hello and good evening. Hello and good evening. Hello and good evening.
Hello?
Great to have you join us. Your name, please, and where you calling from?
Shaku Maku.
Hey, Makushi.
This is Pastor Ladipo.
Aha, Pastor Ladipo. Great to have you join us. Go ahead.
I'm calling from Orilegon.
Go on, please.
I don't know. My take this afternoon from the statistics that Oga Sankore rolled out.
Right.
Lagos State, as it is now, we have more Agbero in Lagos. Now, my take is, how do we go about these things? Because it's like most people don't understand that they are more than necessary. Secondly, this issue of ASU and lecturers, I mean ASU and the federal government, it seems that the lecturers, I mean the ASU themselves, they are not really coming out to let the public know the effect of their demand. Because the federal government is trying to blackmail them before the people, that these people are doing this, people are doing that. So my take is, let ASU have a spokesperson that can audibly read out and explain to the general public their demand.
All right.
So that I do not look as if it's because of salary, only salary, and only salary alone.
Right. All right.
Thank you, and God bless Nigeria.
All right. Thank you very much, Pastor Ladipo. And on WhatsApp, we have Arnold from Isolo, who says, like a caller asked Mr. Rodman to join the politicians. I know he cannot because he's not a mediocre person. He can't be wasting his time dancing with mediocres. Tony from Birmingham in Alabama writes that please don't forget the SDP's presidential candidate that said the entire country is now a crime scene. Very pathetic situation we find ourselves. Shame on the Nigerian rulers or politicians at all levels. I hear you, Tony. Femi from Texas writes that until our government officials are banned from sending their children abroad, then this madness in the educational sector and the number of out-of-school children will not reduce. In the U.S., the school my kids go to is the same school government officials also attend, which has to be within the same zip code of your residence. So tell me how those government officials will ignore the welfare of those schools. To get back to the phone lines. Hello and good evening.
Yeah, Chief Obo.
Great to have you join us. Hey, Makushi.
Yala.
Right.
Chief Obo.
We hear you. Go
the
ahead.
International organization, or the people that are celebrating this thing you explained.
United Nations.
How come they never sanction Nigeria? Nigeria shouldn't be celebrating all these things. You can see as soon as 7 months, right? Hello, Chief Obo.
Yeah, where with you? Go ahead.
Then the out-of-school children, how many million? Then when they are celebrating that, they will start to mention Nigeria. Nigeria will be taking part. I think it's high time those organizations should help Nigeria sanction these people. The president was in one of the education summit. Oh, I will be giving 50% every budget to education. Up till today, how many percent has he given? When they celebrate something, they call Nigeria, all of us will be celebrating. Nigeria celebrating war, whatever. Well, 2023, I will sort ourselves out. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. It's important to know that we don't even use the word here, celebrate. We use the word observe or mark the days that are written. We don't say, I don't know what is there to celebrate in illiteracy or attack on education, but we use observe instead. Turn down the device you're listening with, and great to have you join us on public
school. Hello, good evening. Aho and Sankore.
Aha. Great to have you join us. Your name, please, where are you calling from?
I am Eze Doom from Surulere.
Eze Doom, great to have you. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. The disturbing statistics by Rotimi Sankore is totally unfortunate. I am highly disturbed. When you see the rot in our education sector and you watch the wastages, I support the removal of poison. In the past, I have described it as a cancer to our economy. Is it not last week that Nigerian Customs accused NNPC of not accounting for the reconsumption of fuel? Importing in excess of 30 million barrels of fuel, massive corruption, misappropriation everywhere in CBN, in empowerment. We have money. What we are lacking is quality leadership. I remember the evening I told you and Sandra that the re-election of the President Buhari will not go well with Nigeria because of clear incapacity. I am happy the way things are. In fact, I even pray for things to get more worse so that Nigeria will see the reason to vote wisely. I am disturbed, and also I am happy that after 4 years of crying on this platform for Nigeria to vote well, that they did not heed my advice. But today we are paying dearly. Sankore, just be happy. Just take some cup of water.
The rain and the sunshine falls on everyone.
It's very important to point out that nobody should be happy when things are getting bad. The reason for highlighting that things are getting bad is also to highlight what the solutions are.
Right.
So if there are 2 million children out of school in Lagos, according to the SUBEB, at 25 children per class, it means we need at least 80,000 more classrooms in Lagos. It means we need 80,000 more teachers in Lagos. That is the point of highlighting the data, to highlight the solution so that it doesn't get worse. Nobody should be happy that things are bad, and definitely nobody should wish that things will get worse. You know, it's so, look, there is some data that is important to point out. It could be worse in Lagos. If you look in Lagos, the latest data from 2019 is that 93% of the primary schools in Lagos are privately owned. 93% of primary schools in Lagos are privately owned. That is roughly 14,600 primary schools. And only about 1,000 of them are public. You know, it shows what the gap is in that investment. So if the private primary school owners didn't see an opportunity to make money, that out of school figure in Lagos would be much worse. If there were not 13,600 primary schools private in Lagos, the out of school children would be much worse. It could be 4 million or 4.5 million. So that is the importance of pointing out this, that the investment in the public education must keep up with the population growth, local government by local government. It is really crucial because at the end of the day, all these kids, when they grow up, these 20 million children out of school we are talking about across Nigeria, in the next 5 to 10 years, they will be chasing most of you about with sticks and cudgels. And who is going to invest in a state? Who is going to invest in a state where the insecurity, the data is showing that the insecurity could get worse? That is the point, to solve the problem before it actually gets worse. In fact, with respect to that, Femi, the great pundit, who is one of our regular listeners that engages, he said on Twitter, he said, when you leave the problem unsolved and more problems develop from them, then you get more wahala, which is what we are trying to avoid. Opala Chinedu is also asking on Twitter. He says, isn't there a way this information can be put across to the Minister of Information so that when he says insecurity will end in December, we also ask him and say, but Oga, the 20 million children out of school, are they going back to school before December? The unemployment, is it ending before December?
Right.
The 60 million adults that can't read and write, is it ending before December? And so forth like that.
Absolutely. I mean, these are big points we have to take into consideration. Ola from Ikorodu writes, Nigerian government does not have passion in taking care of the needs of the masses. John Chima is a... I think QA stands for those of you who are in the software testing industry. It says, today is also International Software Tester Day. It'd be interesting to know what the software testers in Nigeria are also up to. But back to the phone lines. Hello and good
children,
evening.
Children that haven't seen computers before want to test software.
Hello.
Great to have you join us. What's your name, please, and where are you calling from?
Yeah, my name is Bo Yesen, and I'm calling from Afromedia, Ojo.
Oh, right. I don't remember also getting any call from Afromedia, but Bo Yesen, go ahead, please.
Yeah, honestly, I don't understand why this government has chosen to behave the way it's behaving. It baffles me, honestly. But this is the same government that was coming in, promising heaven and earth, promising... All the things promised, none of them is being kept, honestly. It baffles me. Imagine even this subsidy. They said it was a scam. And when they come in, everything will be taken over. No more food strike, this, that, that is. In fact, the bamboozled us. We were made to believe them. And now we have believed them. None of the things that they promised that they've been able to keep. It is a shame, honestly.
All right, thank you very much. Point made, Boysen. Hello and good evening.
Hello, how are you?
I'm brilliant. Great to have you join us.
Yeah, Alex here.
Alex, thank you for breaking through the maze of male callers. We have a problem with a female-only line.
Yes. Hello, Mr. Sankore. You see, I'd like to just say something. Nigerians should never trust politicians, especially when it comes to percentages. There's a saying that the politician is the king of the percentage game. You know, it's percentage that brought them to office. I won so percentage of the votes. But you don't govern by percentages. You see, when they go abroad, they go to all those conferences, they tell you we'll increase it by 10%, we'll increase it by this percent, by that. If you go back and look at those percentages, they mean nothing. In the real, that is, no impact. I don't know if I'm making sense.
Yes, you are. Go ahead.
Yeah, the politician is the king of the percentage game. And we should not allow them run government. Government. You cannot do the business of government by percentage. That's why when they come, they bring they talk to us. They say we will increase by so percent. Compare it to their own salaries now. Then you now see that the percentage means nothing. I don't know. And then most of the people who are blaming us that they should go back to school, they should try, they should manage, they should this, they should that. I can guarantee you that they have not been into the four walls of the university in the last 10 years. We hear them on radio when they talk about, you know, ASU should go back, ASU should do this, they should let down their, you know. Look, you haven't been into a university in the last 10 years. I urge Nigerians, if you haven't been... Take a stroll down to any university close to you. I mean, you see what we're talking about here. And those are the things, only the things the eyes can see. How about the ones the eyes cannot see? No more research and development in our schools. We should be worried.
All right.
We should be worried.
All right. Thank you.
I've not heard that the contestants have given up on their pensions to aid the out of school children. We've not heard.
All right. Thank you very much, Alex. Great point made. Hello and good evening. Right. Do call back and hope you have luck in connecting with us. Rashid from Eco Hotel, he writes, says that the data analysis being highlighted is alarming, and it shows that we need more manpower and educational facilities. Now, listeners should desist from wishing our country bad luck. We should all be praying for a better future for this country. May God Almighty bless our country. And he ends with an amen. Hello and good evening.
Good evening,
great to have you join us. Your name, please.
This is IG from Ikeja.
Aha, IG, go ahead.
We're in trouble in Nigeria, that is for sure. You know, the saddest thing I have been advocating, or what I have been telling people is, you see, the problem, Buhari has come to show us the weakness of the Nigerian system in total. So you can see that the danger we are facing right now, which we should be looking at fixing, is why we have a Buhari in power. A man that you can't, somebody that is not, you can't control, and is not, if your interest is not his interest, is there not a problem? How do we stop such a thing? That is the issue. So now I'm looking at a situation where elections are coming. If you notice, before Buhari's election, he never attended any debate. He never attended any debate. The best he did was to send Oshibanjo, who was the intellectual, to come do the dirty job. And there, here we are. The same thing is happening now. Tinubu is dodging debate. Another. So we have a problem in this country where we should be, and when we say we, when masses are talking, when you say masses, that thing annoys me. What is masses? What is the statement that is become a slogan in Nigeria? You say, the people's benefit, people should, I want to help my people. What idiot says that? Sorry for my language.
Yeah.
What is, you should say, the country. If the country is good, everybody is happy. What do you mean, masses? My people, I want to benefit of democracy for my people. I don't understand. That immediately draws a line.
All right, IG.
It draws a line between people up there and those down there. So, of course, you know, it becomes a matter of preference and interest. And I mean, I'm not interested in it. I do my own thing.
All right.
We should be building Nigeria. Which one is, there is masses, there is houses.
All right.
You know, we have a very big problem. This education thing that wrote to me is talking about that UN is really nice. Not today, they are really now data, statistics. This government has no interest in all these statistics.
All right. Thank you very much, IG, and we get your point. Hello and good evening.
Hello.
Aha, we hear you clearly. What's your name, please?
Okay, can you hear me now?
We can hear you well. What's your name?
Okay, thank you. I remember Boyesin from Afromedia.
Ah, Boyesin again. I give you 30 seconds to wrap up.
Okay, I thought you didn't get, I thought the network went off.
No, we heard you clearly. So we can let you go now.
Okay, you heard me.
Yes, we heard you. Some people have all the luck in the world. People trying to get through. And hello. All right. We will go to Rotimi, the WhatsApp messages, and because we are running quickly out of time. Ife Oluwa from Songotedo says that I studied public administration in the higher institution, first in polytechnic and then a university, and I didn't write a course in macroeconomics, policy or development. And that's Nigeria's educational system. Holistic revitalization is the key.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm glad he's owning up, because I mean, just imagine hundreds of people like this, and then they are going, if they are put in charge of a ministry.
Yes.
where would they start?
If he can take late night. All right, I think we squeeze one more call, and that's it on the public square. Let's see if there's any lucky one. Hello and good evening. Hello and good evening. Okay, it's gone. So Rugby, we've come to the part where we have run out of ammo and run out of powder. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's really important that the country has big public discussions on things like this, like education at primary, secondary school, university level. We can't have more than enough discussions on this. And the reason is, this is what decides the future of the country. The potential for industrialization is based on education. The potential for the country to descend into conflict is partly based on education or lack of it. So we can't have more than enough, we can't have too much discussions on this. This is what I just appeal to people, and that these investments need to be made. If we want Nigeria to be like those industrialized countries, this investment has to be made. It really, really has to be made. Those will be my last words for today. I mean, if the investment is not made, we can see what happened in Afghanistan, in Democratic Republic of Congo, which is no longer democratic, and so forth like that. And we can see the path that Nigeria can go down if these investments are not made. Of course, not just education, but electricity, healthcare, equality, and things like that.
It's interesting you mentioned the countries like the DR. See, which interestingly also is ranked next to Nigeria, sadly, in the numbers of out-of-school children, and also follows the same trajectory of insecurity, poverty, and underdevelopment. Supposed to be two shining lights, DRC and Nigeria, unfortunately. They're not lifting their game up. So that's it on Public Square. Those of you asking for previous episodes of Public Square, we're going to make sure that it's updated so you can listen again on the Nigeria Info website. Just go to the tab Listen Again, and you can listen to this conversation and all the very engaging conversations which we've had in the past around development and the major happenings in the country. So, Rutby, that's it.
Yeah, thanks, Aho. 4 p.m. next week, 99.3. 4 p.m. next week, Friday, on 99.3.
Excellent. All right, up next we have the news at the top of the hour, and after the news, Sammy and Ifi with Music and Moments will take us through Nostalgia Avenue, and there's still a lot more to come. The Femi on the Gang with Game On from 7 p.m. 99.3 Nigeria Info, your number one talk and news sports station. Let's talk.